Glad to see some of you returned tonight. Now, there were a couple of things that I did not get to this morning, and I'm going to go ahead and finish up what I was doing this morning. One of the things that I was talking about this morning was cancel culture. And a lot of folks don't understand what that is. But let me give you an example of how cancel culture works. And I'm not going to give any names or corporate names, but there was a CEO in Ohio of a large corporation. He had a board of directors. He went to a restaurant with his family to eat. They were having a prom, high school prom, at the same restaurant. They were having dinner there, some of them, and one of the boys wore a red dress. He went with his boyfriend, and as the CEO was walking into the restaurant, the boy in the red dress asked him what he thought of his dress. He asked, and he said, "I think you're acting like a fool." They were harassed at the table by the rest of the high school kids for saying that to that boy. They had to leave. And they went about six blocks to another restaurant and ate. Now, that should have been the end of it. But the boy in the red dress went back and posted on Facebook what had happened. And by the time this CEO got home, there were hundreds of thousands of comments on Facebook about him. The next day, he was called in by his board of directors as CEO. Lost his job, lost his position. It was a company that he had started. He couldn't get a job. Every place he went to make an application, this was being worldwide. They were using social media, Twitter, all of the various forms of social media, to attack this man who had just said he thought this guy was a fool. It destroyed him. It destroyed his family. That is the cancel culture, and that is the result of the cancel culture. That is what they do. And they have done that to hundreds of individuals within this country. If they come after you, you're done. Except for this guy he had a church. The church asked him to leave. It's awful. It's hatred. And it's just the opposite of what Jesus has told us we are to be. Now, he didn't say this with any malice toward that, but he said it. And as a result of it, the consequence of that is that he was, as an individual, as a businessman, as the head of a household. That's the cancel culture. I'm going to continue tonight with a little bit more about the critical race theory, and the key word there is critical. They are critical of everybody. But before we do that, I want to read you a passage of Scripture, because, folks, we don't have to be afraid. We need to be careful, but we do not have to be afraid. In Romans 8, 35 through 39, Paul addresses this kind of activity. It was going on in his day, but it had a different aspect. They didn't have internet. But they had the grapevine. We have a grapevine. But we have internet too. Let me read you this passage of Romans 8, 35 through 39 before we go on. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. All right. I didn't finish up this morning. That was it. Okay. Now, the title for tonight's message is it really COVID or is it something else? Is it really COVID or is it something else? And for the scripture that I want us to start off with, it's 1 Corinthians 14:33. And many of you know that verse. You may not know the reference, but you know that verse. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is in all the churches of saints. God is not the author. So you can be sure that what we're going to be talking about tonight and the confusion that it is causing, not of God, it's of the other. He's attacking folks. He's attacking on every front he can. Because this is his time. This morning, we looked at some of the things that are transpiring within our American society. Does what is taking place seem to be confusing? Yes, in many cases it is. And so we know it's not God. He is not the author of confusion. He is not the one who causes confusion. I think that all the things that are currently influencing our society and our nation are very confusing. They're even confusing to the people who are involved. You think they're not confused? Wear a mask. Don't wear a mask. 6 feet. No, 3 feet. Wear a mask. No, don't wear a mask. That makes sense. But is that happening? Yes. It is happening. So, I firmly believe that the people who are leading our nation today are not believers in the Lord God. I firmly believe that. My question tonight is, are we entering a time of judgment, or are we experiencing a total lack of leadership? Because that is a question we need to answer. You know, God judged Israel, and on Wednesday nights, if you're here for the study of the minor prophets, you're seeing judgment, judgment, judgment. Is that what's happening to this nation, or is it simply a lack of leadership, or maybe a little bit of both? And so that's what we're going to get into. See, the church is relevant. It is important that what we talk about, what we study, what we look at in God's Word, and we associate it with where we are, that's relevant. And the moment that the church ceases to be relevant, you need to go someplace else. But for right now, let's try and be relevant. Now, I believe that we are in an era that was written about in the Bible in some of the early books in the Old Testament. And the last line of the book of Judges, anybody remember what that line says? Let me read it for you. It's Judges 21:25. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right. Don't sound familiar? Sound familiar? Isn't it amazing how history just repeats, repeats? And if we don't learn from history, if we don't learn from the Word of God, why do we read the Old Testament? Okay, it tells us this. And here we are living in the middle of this right now. This whole book, I'm really amazed at the number of people who drive around Charleston and North Charleston area that are absolutely lawless. Now, I know you have all seen it. You have probably all mumbled over it, like a lady that talked this morning. The people speed, they run red lights, they cut in and out of traffic. We've got a roundabout over in our apartment complex, and people go the wrong way all the time just to take a shortcut. I was sitting at the light in Dorchester going home today. We had a red light on Dorchester. The left turn arrows came on, and people started coming through. And then they turned red. There was a police officer sitting beside me. I was the first car in the left lane. He was the first car in the right lane. Six cars came through that red light. Two tractor trailers. Turning on to Ashley Fox. He did not bat an eye. Totally lost. And that's the society we're living in. There are people that should be in jail because they have committed acts of treason against this country. Right. And they're totally free. Like I said, we're told to wear masks, don't wear masks. We told if we have the shots, we don't have to wear a mask. And then we're told, oh yeah, so we're. Does any of this nonsense make sense to you? No. What has happened? Upside down. Upside down. Black is white, white is black. Right is wrong, wrong is right. And that's the society that we're moving about in. And there are some things going on in this society that I want you to be aware of so you understand. When you and I read the scripture, we form certain mental pictures of the activities that we are reading about. How accurate are these mental pictures? Do you associate what the Bible says, what it tells us that is going on around us? You know the verse. Some of you know where I'm going. I'm going to 1 Timothy 1 through 5. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. I used to read this and think, well, you know, this hasn't happened yet. Can't be that bad yet. This know also, this is Paul warning Timothy, writing to Timothy. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And folks, if times are getting perilous, For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, breach of contract, false accusers, lie about anybody you want. If you lie about, ask General Flynn. Falsely accused, falsely imprisoned, not false. Right here. Paul wrote about it 2,000 years ago. Incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Such. Now, this passage is partly a command. I want you to notice that, because it's that part of this passage is important. It's right at the very beginning when it says, this know also. We are to be aware of what is going on, of what man is around us. And that's what Paul is telling. So let's look at the various things that are taking place and see if they are associated with the warning that Paul is giving us. When he says, this know also, he is telling the Christian, don't be like an ostrich and stick your head in the sand so you don't see what's going on around you. We need to be aware. And that brings us to another social idiom. Woke. Woke. What is woke? I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't put my finger on anything. Woke, and I'm going to explain it as I researched it. Woke is a term that started almost 20 years ago among the African Americans. It's part of the vernacular. Awake. They say woke. That means become alert to what is going on. If you're sleeping, you don't know what people are doing around you. And for many years, we have been sleeping. And the African-American segment in some parts of our society have adopted the term woke. Woke means wake up and understand that you are being oppressed. Wake up and understand that you are being abused. Wake up and understand that you are being taken advantage of. Wake up and understand that you are a victim, and you, as a victim, you have certain rights. That's what it means. And when I closed this morning, I told you I saw a license plate out here going down Darby Road. Stay woke. Stay a victim. Stay a victim. And folks, we're victims. They're not victims. Everybody has the same opportunity, at least they did have, until our federal government. The problem that we have with the church is that for the last 30 or 40 years, we have ignored what was happening in the rest of the world. Christianity was in a major decline. And as long as it didn't affect us, as long as it wasn't our church, we paid no attention. As long as it wasn't our people who were getting killed, it really didn't mean anything. as long as it wasn't our kids who were being kidnapped out of the school, the girls, for prostitution purposes. In the country of Nigeria, there are 1,000 girl students missing from Christian because they have been kidnapped, been made sex. Can you imagine the heartache that those parents have knowing they put their daughter in a Christian school so she could be a jewel for the crown of Christ? And if she's alive, she's being used for sex. Folks, it's going on in this country too. They're flooding across the border. Because it's a lawless leadership that we have. Absolutely lawless. These things are going on. They're not just things you read about in the paper. This is affecting people that maybe you know, maybe you don't. But it's affecting. And we sing that song every Sunday mornings. And as we sing it, I can't help but think of what part of our family may be aching, may be weeping, because they are not able to live for the glory. We need to look at a little bit of history. I touched on this morning, and we're gonna touch on it again, just in case somebody asks you, or just in case you wonder how this all got started. About the time that this church was planted, which was around 1989, got started a little bit earlier than that, but this church was just growing at that point to become a large, flourishing church. They had almost 350 people attending. They hadn't started the school yet. That started in 1996. But about this time, 1989, George Lukacs, a staunch Marxist, migrated from Germany to Columbia University as a professor. He influenced a young woman by the name of Kimberly Crenshaw. Kimberly Crenshaw became a driving force for the teaching and promotion of critical race theory at Columbia. I told you this morning about Derek Bell, who went to Harvard as a law professor and began to teach lawyer about critical race theory. That's why so many judges are letting people out. A major part of the critical race theory was to, and it is still a major part, it is one of their primary goals, is to destroy the authority of the Bible in your life and in the life of every other American out there. Destroy the authority of the Bible so that you do not have access to the power of God's Word. This book has power. It is the power of God in our lives. And they are out to destroy that. That's why it was taken out of the school. That's why they don't want it being read. There are men getting put in jail for standing on a street corner reading the book. Contrary to the First Amendment. You say, well, they can't do that. They're doing it. If something took place. I'm giving you some anecdotes about what is going on, what is really happening. Katrina when it came into Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, the hurricane, 2004. The police and the National Guard went into the New Orleans area of Louisiana, and they confiscated every single firearm. I thought we had a Second Amendment said they couldn't do that. They did it. They did it. It happened. There was a woman, 71 years old. She had a 1911 or 1912 revolver that her husband had left to her. They knocked on her door. Four policemen. Four. She's 71. She was about the size of my wife. They asked her, "Do you have any gun?" She said, "Yes." And she pulled it out. And the minute she pulled it out, one of the four police officers yelled, "Gun," and all four of them tackled her, breaking her collarbone and her shoulder. Take that gun away from her. This is what's, and we keep saying, "Oh, well, we've got the Second Amendment. They can't do this." They're doing it. They've done it. Ruby Ridge was a test. It was a test. But he said anything. When they shot a mother holding a baby standing on the front porch looking. Waco was a test. When they killed or burned to death 87 people. And again, we need to understand. This is a wicked, this world is wicked. We are the salt. We are the light. And we must be those things. Because there's a lot of people out there that don't want what's out there. And we have what they need and what they want. They just don't know it. We've got to communicate with them. We've got to let them know. Now, when you hear news commentators, we're going to get into some terms now. When you hear news commentators refer to Western institutions, they're speaking specifically about Christianity. That's a code name that the enemy is using. Western institution. The goal in 1989, and the goal remains exactly the same today as it did then, was to destroy in this order. Now listen to me, because this is awfully important. You will see how this starts to fit together, how different parts of our society begin to, different activities are beginning to dovetail. The first thing that they needed to destroy in this country was the family. The family. Then it was the church. After that, the government. And after that, the university. Now, our young people have been indoctrinated. They have been very successful in destroying the family. How many single mothers are raising children? How many couples, rather than getting married, are living together? More than are getting married because of the indoctrination that they have gotten in school and in the universities and in high school. Folks, this has been going on for 30 years. And suddenly, we're becoming aware of it because little pieces of it are bubbling up here and over there. It seems that the Marxists are out well on their way to being successful. This is a Marxist ideology. Split everything apart. Destroy everything that is good. And that is what they're attempting to do. Folks, we've got to hang on to our faith at any price. We just have to. Up to now, the church has not really presented a defense to this onslaught or attack. We're not united. We're independent Baptists. We're so independent, we won't talk to any other church or anybody else, for that matter. But folks, it's way beyond that. We're going to have to. We're going to have to close ranks in order to be able to defend against what's going on. As more believers become aware of what's happening, a countermeasure can be implemented, particularly if we consolidate our efforts. One of the things that the Southern Baptist Convention did that was so effective was that they had a cooperative program where they could, missionaries didn't have to go to church to raise their support. Missionaries simply went to the program and they had collected funds from the various churches, and they could say, okay, you're hired, you go there, you're hired, you go there. They didn't have to do deputation. Am I right, Faith? That was a good thing. They were using their strength to accomplish things for God. But even that, There are times when mistakes are made. I'm amazed by the information that we find in the Bible. I really am. Folks, this might sound like this is, you know, a death knell for God's purposes in this world. It is not. God has given us an answer for everything here. And here is where we're going to have to concentrate our effort. Here is what we are going to have to do. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, as James has told us. We need to do the word. How could the men who lived 2,000 years ago know how to correct the problems that we are having today? And yet, God knew. And he moved them to write the answer to the problem. It was the Apostle Paul who wrote to Timothy about the last days, giving him a warning. All of the things that Paul wrote about seem to be taking place right now. How did he know? As I look at the various forms of attack against the Word of God, I'm impressed by solutions that Jesus gave us. If we invest our time spreading about what's going on, we are going to become. We're going to become a basket of nerves and jump at every little noise. But if we do what Jesus said we're supposed to do, that's going to make a big, big difference in our life. Time again, we read in the Old Testament of God's people under attack and of God delivering them. Isn't that marvelous? God delivered the people in the Old Testament. He delivered entire nations. He delivered Israel many times. That was his people. He delivered Judah many times. They were his people. Who are we? Are we not the children of God? Then hadn't we better expect God to deliver us, and shouldn't that be our source of deliverance? It can be, and it should be. We should be looking to him for wisdom, for understanding. That's why I'm sharing this with you tonight. So many times God gave Israel, his country, his chosen people, a means of overcoming their enemies. And he can do the same thing for us. And he wants to. So, how do we start? How do we go about this? How do we begin to understand, to do the things that God has said? Do we hide our guns so they can't come and take them away? No, the battle's not going to be with guns. The battle's going to be on our knees. That's where the battle's going to be fought. And that's where we're going to win or lose this battle. It's going to be on our knees. Those of us who can get on our knees, I can't yet. They haven't healed up that much. I want to share with you the weapon that Jesus Christ gave his church and his disciples. It's in Matthew 5, that's the Sermon on the Mount, verses 43 through 48. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Now here we got all these nice people up in Washington, D.C., and in other places of authority around this country. And many of us would like to do something to curtail their activity. But God gives us his answer, his solution, not ours. Matthew 5, 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say to you, now this is Jesus speaking, folks. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the child of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil, on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans. But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven. Folks, we're going to pray. That's a big order. That is a big order. And yet, that is the weapon that will win. Because if you are doing what God has said, God is not going to let anything happen. God is going to take care of you. And you will always have that verse, Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together. So we're to love our enemies and let God take care of the problem. Wouldn't it be something if they had a lightning storm in Washington, D.C.? I mean, a really good lightning storm. I would love to see the picture. of all the senators and representatives under their desks, hiding from an irate God, because they were picking on his people and his people were loving. What a thought. We are living. People are not living like God said they should. They're mostly living for themselves. They don't care about anybody else but them. Think that's not true? Look at the sides of your car when you're parked in a Walmart parking lot. People have opened the door against your car. In Paul's day, they were trying to kill him. In our day, they're trying to nullify our effectiveness. Our effectiveness as sowers of. We cannot listen. We need to sow the word. We need to get those gospel tracts out. We've had this box of gospel tracts way too long. Give them out, put them in people's hands. They won't do any good here. Most of you folks don't know. I told a couple of folks. We had a lawnmower. We used to mow the grass with it. Brother Dorn used to mow the grass. He picked it out. Good. I think Lacey or Bobby. He used to mow it. And we had it locked up out here in a conic for 3 years because we were hiring our grass. What good was that? What benefit were we getting out of that lawn? So we traded two lawnmowers with our lawn guy doing a lawn. We would give him. God has given us things to share with people around us, not necessarily within our but he's a brother in Christ. He's part of the family. So we need to be sharing with the family, and we need to be praying for, I won't say the idiots, but the confused people in Washington, okay? Much kinder. Somehow we need to reach the world around us with the Word of God. We particularly need to reach the youth around us without sounding like we're chiding them about their relationship to God. You understand that the woke culture, they are victims. They think they are being oppressed, and they think that you and I are doing the oppressing. So we are their. That's what they've been taught. The only way we can overcome that is by loving, praying for them. That is the way. We're told about a time in the Old Testament during the ministry of Nehemiah and Ezra, when they read the existing word. They didn't have an Old Testament, New Testament, or a Bible, but they had some of the books of the Old Testament. And when they read that to the people began to weep, because they knew they were not doing what the Bible had told them to do. So, folks, we need to be sure that we understand and obey everything that is. You know what they told the people? I love it. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And folks, if we're going to be strong, we've got to have the joy of the Lord in our heart. We've got to be glad. We need to be doing the book. We need to be on our knees more. That's the way we're going to defeat them. That's the way that our God is going to defeat them for us. I fear that many Christians are in love with the world more than they are in love with Christ. If they weren't, this auditorium would be full. First John 2, 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's pretty cut and dry. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. We dealt with pride this morning in Sunday school. We all have it. And, verse 17, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Folks, we're going to live in heaven. And it may be sooner than we think. I believe that we have very little time to do these things. I think it's important we do as much as we can in the time we have. Some of our children have been lost to the world because we did not understand what was being done in the way of teaching. Instead of being taught, they were. Can they be won back? God's Holy Spirit. Is anything too hard for God? No, it's not. But, remember what James told us, that if we pray believing, God will give us an answer to our prayer. The problem is this, and I have it, and I'm sure some of you may have the same problem. There are times I pray for something, and I'm thinking, I don't deserve this. God's not. I ask because it's something that my heart wants. I want to see somebody saved. I want to see somebody come back to the Lord. I want to see somebody take an interest in the Lord. I have difficulty praying because I'm watching their activity. And some of you may be the same. So we've got to live by faith. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, we have an exhortation that believers should be steadfast, firm in the faith of the gospel which the Apostle Paul preached and they received as a church. Also to be unmovable in their hope and expectation of this great privilege of being raised incorruptible and immortal, and to abound in the work of the Lord, always doing the Lord's service and obeying the Lord's commands. May Jesus Christ give us the faith through the Holy Spirit to do this. May he increase our faith as we see our prayers answered. That way, not only will we be saved, but joyful and triumphant. It's past 7 o'clock. There's a lot more we could say, a lot more. But I hope now that you understand woke. I hope now that you understand the cancel culture. I hope now that you understand the critical race theory. It's all Marxism, all of it. Black Lives Matter, Marxist. They're out to destroy everything that is good. Whose goal is that? Not God. Understand where this is. And I will close with this verse. Keep it in your mind. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. That's where we're going. That's where we're going to stay. Let God worry about what's going on. We're going to get our allegiance and attention, and we're going to obey. Father, as we close our service tonight, may your will be done in each of our lives. Give us the stamina to obey you and to continue to obey you. Father, help us to love our enemy. You have said you are love. In your word. Father, help us to love our enemies. Help us to love those who are persecuting us. Help us to love those who are trying to destroy us. And then, Father, may we have your protection. May we have your purpose. It's our purpose for living. May your will be done in each of our lives. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name.